Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We are announcing charges in the Central and Southern Districts of California against two active duty members of the United States Navy. Through the alleged crimes committed by these defendants, sensitive military information ended up in the hands of the People's Republic of China. The charges demonstrate the PRC's determination to obtain information that is critical to our national defense by any means, so it could be used to their advantage. The alleged conduct also represents a violation of the solemn obligation of members of our military to defend our country, to safeguard our secrets, and to protect their fellow service members.
This morning.
Yeah, so this is bad. I mean, this is really bad. Both of these guys seem to be of Chinese ancestry in the United States Navy. Both of them are being charged with various forms of selling of national secrets, defense secrets, and defense information to the Chinese. And, you know, in one case through the story, as we understand it, the one person, the Chinese contact, didn't really get into the details about him. The other one was like, you know, he was presenting himself as a what was the occupation that he had now all of a sudden? But he was it was a marine economic researcher seeking information for investment decisions. Still can't sell military information to somebody who's not just a foreign agent, even if you don't think that he is. And so you have these two different guys that brought forward all of these charges. And it's bad on several levels. Level number one, of course, is obviously the, degrading of American security because of the loss of this information to the Chinese. We know for years and years and years the Chinese actively engaged in stealing information every way they possibly can, whether it's by infiltrating research universities and creating organizations on campus to, pretend to be humanitarian or, philanthropic organizations that then create opportunities to get information from research institutions, or whether it's just plain, technological theft, stealing designs for like the F-35 or anything else. They are everywhere they can possibly be into American innovation in order to keep parity, not by innovating on their own, but by stealing what we have. And, that's only a part of the story, obviously. I'm sure these are not the only people. These are not the only two people who are involved in selling American secrets to the Chinese. That's the real problem with this case, in my opinion. It is a bad thing that they would sell the movements of the ships, that they would sell the schematics for the radar system, and that they would, tell them about operational security measures at bases. That's bad. Okay. Also, weirdly bad that they seem to have sold it so cheap. I mean, you're talking about, massive breach of your security clearance, committing a crime, harming your nation's security capabilities, and they're getting paid, what, like $15,000 a piece? It just seems so pathetic that it would be so small. I am certain that the information is worth far more than that to the Chinese. But still, I don't read that as being the big impact. To me, the big impact is now what happens to all of the other Chinese ancestry members of the United States military serving in active duty right now. Nobody trusts them now. This is, I was thinking about this morning, like it's obviously a case of, national security and, intelligence failure and the harm that's being done or has been done to our capabilities by this. But that's probably, and I don't obviously know the particular details, even though we've got a lot of information. We don't know the details of exactly what they did and how harmful it was, but it strikes me that the real harm, the known harm, the perhaps the intended harm, if you can imagine that perhaps the Chinese intended this to come out, we're going to steal some secrets and we're going to get some, some information. But in the process, once this gets disclosed, because, we typically always find this stuff out, or even you know, it's always theoretically possible that they could have set this up so it would be found out, because then every single person in the Navy who's of Chinese ancestry, and, you know, we know Americans sometimes aren't great at distinguishing Chinese versus Japanese versus Korean ancestry, sadly but true, that every single one of those people is now suspicious to their fellow sailors, right? Because that's human nature. That's we know that we are in a pending conflict against China, and it's the kind of thing that when you get into active conflict with a nation, we didn't trust the Germans, right? We in America, we didn't trust the Japanese in America, and we will have a hard time trusting the Chinese in the military just without this. But then you add this to it, and now all of a sudden, every, you know, Chinese radar operator, every Chinese, torpedo operator, every Chinese, air traffic controller is suddenly like, you sure about that? You know, and that's, I mean, that's sad, human nature, but you know that's going to be an effect. And, you know, I don't think anybody's much talking about that, but that to me seems like a major corollary effect of all of this.
Prosecutors in my office unsealed an indictment charging Wang Hang Zhao, a petty officer in the United States Navy, with transmitting sensitive U.S. military information to an intelligence officer with the People's Republic of China, and doing so in exchange for money. Mr. Zhao transmitted this information in exchange for payments that totaled approximately $15,000.
I mean, like, that's it? It's just the risk you would incur by doing something like this, and you're not, I mean, that was honestly, when I heard this, I'm like, that's it? You're selling American secrets to a foreign power for a couple grand and putting your life at risk, and what it kind of, I think, begs is the question of, okay, you're always talking about motives, right? Whenever you think about anybody who does spying, and there's a variety of motives, right? Anybody who becomes a spy, is co-opted by foreign intelligence, or, you know, foreigners who are co-opted by American intelligence. We do this game too, of course. But there's always motives involved. You know, the obvious motive is money. But money is not, when it comes to spying, one of the, like, great motivators. And especially not that level of money. And so you start to wonder, well, what other motives? Disgruntled, disaffected psychology is one of the major motivators in spying. I don't pretend to be an expert. I'm just, you know, what I know from people I've talked to. And, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert. But that's my understanding, is that, you know, basically somebody who's disillusioned is that feeling of resentment or betrayal, or they were mistreated. You know, those kinds of things are a ripe opportunity for, you know, converting somebody into spying activity. So you have personal woundedness is a motive. Money, again, is a motive. Ideological reasons, right? You know, somebody comes to believe that the project of serving the American military is a corrupt enterprise, or that the America is a corrupt land, or, you know, or I don't know, they get converted to nativism about being Chinese of ancestry. You know, I mean, those kinds of, that kind of constellation, like, you know, I just don't think that it's right for this country to be affecting my home country or something along, you know, my native land. And again, I don't know in this case. I certainly don't presume to know, but $15,000 seems pretty light compared to the kind of risk that you would endure and for the kinds of things that you were betraying.
As alleged in the indictment, in response to requests from the intelligence officer, Mr. Zhao used encrypted communications to send the sensitive information. The information included details regarding various aspects of the U.S. Navy's operational security and activity.
So you had Pacific movement operations, you had operational security, you had blueprints for a radar system, you had the security measures for a live fire facility.
We also allege that Mr. Zhao transmitted to the intelligence officer working for the People's Republic of China details about the Navy's operational security, including photographs and videos of the interior of naval bases located at Ventura and at San Clemente Island, which is the Navy's only live fire facility used for testing military equipment and operations.
So again, I don't feel like I'm in a position to evaluate or assess just how significant the information transferred was, but there's something about all of this that feels a little missing the point to me. I could be completely wrong. This is pure speculation on my part, but there's something about it that that feels like the goal here was much more than just getting the stuff that they got. And if it ever were to come out that, you know, they were set up to be discovered because of the, you know, sort of the morale consequences that it would have to discover spies within the Navy of Chinese ancestry. I certainly can't say that was the goal or even part of the goal per se. I mean, the Chinese aren't dumb. They understand this is what would happen. But it wouldn't surprise me if that came out. Let me put it that way. That's kind of how I'm looking at this case. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And hey, if you are, if you need to do a hardware project, you need to repair something around the house. And listen, you may think you know how to do it, and you might, okay? But I had an old boss who always had an expression. He said, Andrew, there's only two times I want you to come to me for my advice. That's when you're not sure what to do and when you are. And his point was, you know, if you're right, asking for advice won't hurt. And if you're wrong, asking for advice could definitely help. And that's kind of how you want to treat the folks at Pensacola Hardware. They're the experts. And so if you're thinking about working on a project and it's got any level of complication or complexity to it at all, I mean, just go and ask them. Say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Andrew says you guys are good at advice. What do you think? Do I have the right material? Am I thinking about doing this the right way? And they will tell you. Because they know, because they live hardware. They live, you know, remodeling and rebuilding, and they love helping people with it. They've been doing it since 1851, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country, if you can imagine that possibility. So whatever you're thinking about doing, whether you're just, you know, regular, ordinary person who's got a repair to do at home, or whether you own a company and you build houses for a living and you'd like some supplies or some advice or all of the above, Pensacola Hardware, they can help you. Right downtown at 20 East.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here, Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play, Pensacola. Tune in this morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, a Pensacola Beach-based band, Sandy Roots, dance the night away to your favorite rock, reggae, and funk favorites. It's Bands on the Beach with Sandy Roots this Tuesday night at 7.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ballistics experts will be firing live ammunition at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School tomorrow. It'll be a reenactment of the 2018 Parkland school shooting. It's part of a lawsuit. Families of the victims claim a sheriff's deputy, Scott Peterson, knew where the shooter was that day, but failed to save more lives out of fear. Failed to save any lives. He just never went into the school. Peterson was acquitted of criminal charges. He says he couldn't pinpoint where the shots were coming from, and that's why he didn't go in.
You know, this is going to be interesting. It's today, by the way. Of course, that was last night. Bob Solarski at the 10 o'clock news. But they're going to do this today, and I was surprised to hear that they're doing with live ammunition just because, what? You know, but I guess they've got it set up to where there are, you know, some kind of device is going to capture the bullets, and, you know, it's obviously going to be a controlled environment. It just strikes me as the kind of thing where you don't usually wander around an old school and shoot bullets. It's not the norm. But presumably the purpose of the exercise is to be as realistic a reenactment as you possibly can create so that you are able to tell whether his claim that he couldn't tell where the fire was coming from, which is, by the way, I certainly don't want to be put in the awkward position of in any way defending Scott Peterson, you know, absolute coward. Derelict of duty, you know, just unbelievable that he would not go in, that he would not do his job. We all know this story. But the claim he made was, well, I didn't know what was happening or where it was coming from. And, you know, if you've ever been in an environment with hard walls and loud noises, it can be difficult to tell, you know, because things echo and that's just how sound works. So is it plausible that he really couldn't figure it out? Well, that's what they're going to see. Or here, I suppose, literally today. And weird, interesting, I've never heard of anybody doing something like this before, but obviously unique claims in this case. So we'll find out whether, yeah, you know, what they may come away with is the decision that, no, he's full of it, crazy, obviously you knew it was coming from right there, or, no, you know, weird though it might seem, he couldn't really tell. I mean, I think even if you couldn't tell for sure, you still do something. You don't just hide outside and, you know, do nothing. You still rush in. But if they can make it clear that he could easily have told where the location was and just didn't go in, obviously that debunks his basic claim of not being able to tell. 527 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, former President Trump called it a sad day for America. He made those comments yesterday after pleading not guilty on criminal charges connected with alleged efforts to overturn the election in 2020. Trump says he thinks the case is political persecution. Employers apparently hitting the pause button on back to the office efforts. According to some new data, workers that are on hybrid or remote work assignments are not really showing diminished productivity anymore. Analysts say that younger workers are tending to excel in more flexible work environments. And a number of Tesla owners are suing the automaker for fraud after a Reuters investigation discovered the company has been inflating range estimates on its electric vehicles. The suit was filed Wednesday in a federal court in California, and it accuses Tesla of exaggerating the estimated distance their electric vehicles can go on a single charge.
Oh, so it's not even the short distances that we thought it was. It was right. Actually even less than that. Fantastic. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, this story about getting people back to the office is a really fascinating one because obviously during COVID, you know, when people thought that it was more prudent to have them at home and doing work, you kind of had to. And this has, of course, when you try to go back into the office and people are like, wait, what now? You know, I'm enjoying this, and if you force me to go back, I think you'll force me to find a new job that'll let me not have to go back, right? That's something that happened quite a bit. You know, Navy Federal, great example of this. I mean, those buildings are, you know, when was the last time you heard somebody complaining about the traffic on Nine Mile? Right. At shift change. I mean, you're right, it's non-existent.
Right, it's not there.
I mean, you know, it's not exactly a ghost town, but it's not the bustling, thriving center of population that it had been for all of those years prior to COVID. And that's true across the board. Now, I think that this claim that people are as productive at home is, I would say, dubious at best, and I think we all know the reasons why. Like, you know, when you're at home, you don't feel pressure the same way to perform. You don't, you know, there are distractions. There's play with the cat time. There's other
wear
stuff
pajamas.
That people do. There's wear pajama time. Yeah. And now there's an argument in favor of being relaxed and in your native environment that, you know, there's a certain kind of happiness that comes from that. I think for a lot of people, they are less happy working from home. They might not realize it. They might not understand this, but because there's something about being around the other people in your professional endeavor that makes you better at what you do, builds camaraderie, team spirit, social activity, is an antidepressant. We actually have, there's a couple of stories I have in my my packet for today that are really interesting, all about how we are a depressed people now. And one of the reasons why, and there's actually been a recommendation to create a national office of social interaction to try to work to counteract the isolation problem that's hurting us, that's depressing us as a people. And so, you know, letting people stay at home and work from home certainly is a contributor to lower team engagement, lower organizational morale, and just unhappiness for many individuals that they might not even realize is affecting them.
26-year-old Natalie Greenough.
Former President Trump's back at his home in New Jersey after pleading not guilty on charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election in federal court in D.C.
Former President Trump told reporters it was a sad day.
If you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him. We can't let this happen in America.
A judge released Trump with conditions ordering him not to speak about the case with those who could be called as witnesses. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The July jobs report comes out this morning.
Analysts say they expect the report to show non-farm payrolls increasing by 200,000 last month and the unemployment rate holding at 3.6%. Those numbers could provide some indication whether the Federal Reserve will raise its benchmark interest rate again in September or maintain the current rate for another month.
Fox's Rich Dennison. A Russian warship's reported damage in a drone strike by Ukraine on a port in southern Russia overnight. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 80 degrees in Pensacola. Well, we're learning new details about the three swimmers that were found dead near NAS Pensacola yesterday. Late Wednesday night, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office was called to assist NAS police. They say they recovered the body of a 33-year-old woman that was found near Barrancas Beach. And then 7 o'clock yesterday morning, tragically, two children, ages 6 and 7, were recovered near the shoreline. The sheriff's office says all three victims were family members of a Marine who lived on board NAS Pensacola. Attorneys for Escambia County fighting back against a subpoena filed in connection with the District 1 medical examiner's lawsuit against two funeral home directors. Joe Ford with more information.
On Wednesday, Assistant County Attorney Christopher Schaefer filed a motion to quash the subpoena that sought to obtain, in part, all communications and internet search history on county-issued cell phones, any personal devices, or non-governmental devices for Commissioners Jeff Bergosh, Stephen Berry, Mike Kohler, and Robert Bender. In the motion, Schaefer argues that the county is not a party to the litigation and that the county cannot timely respond to their request. Schaefer also writes that the jurisdiction of the court has not been established, as both defendants' motion to dismiss the case partly based on improper venue selection of Gadsden County. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Congressman Matt Gaetz now speaking out against a federal proposal that would relocate where vendors at Crab Island in Destin are allowed to operate. He tells Channel 3 that the National Park Service wants floating businesses to move out to deeper waters outside of the current federal waters due to concern over life-threatening accidents and diminished water quality.
The worry is that in these areas where we are right now, visitors will not fully appreciate the torrent currents, the changes in elevation that occur very quickly.
And Gaetz has written a letter now to the Department of the Interior saying the plan would be detrimental to the safety of visitors as well as having a negative impact on the local economy. Another advanced placement class may be off limits here in Florida. The College Board announcing yesterday the state is effectively banning AP psychology because it violates the parental rights in education law. The law bans teaching about sexual orientation and gender identity. The Florida Department of Education, though, denying that the course is being banned. A spokeswoman says the course is still listed in the course code directory for the 2023-24 school year. She also accuses the College Board of playing games with Florida students. AP psychology has been available in the state for 30 years now. Last year, about 28,000 students took the class. 534, it is News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Happy Friday. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer. A hot day on tap once again as we go through the day. Highs in the mid to upper 90s. Feels like temperatures or heat index values near 110 degrees. That's why we're under heat advisory from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Same deal on Saturday. We have another heat advisory in effect, but the difference on Saturday may be a rain chance that moves in through the late afternoon and evening hours to open up the weekend. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
It's 80 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, and 80 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 5th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital is Friday, August 25th, Center Court at Cordova Mall, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Wind Creek Casino and Hotel will match donations up to $20,000.
All the money stays right here.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
Thank you to our HOPE sponsors this year, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, International Paper, and Pennair Credit Union.
Thank you!
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, that's a very interesting question, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of information that comes with gang activity. I mean, what is considered a gang? You know, there's so many different definitions. Most communities have what we call hybrid gangs, that are a group of people that are hanging together, and, you know, they call themselves one group or another group. But there's no formal meetings like you would see back in the days when you had, you know, the Crips and the Bloods in L.A. and in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's more hybrid in nature. Where, you know, I just talked yesterday about...
That's Eric Randall, chief for Pensacola Police Department, talking at D.C. Reeves press conference on Tuesday about, you know, what is the level of gang violence, what's the nature of gang violence in Pensacola these days. And he says, look, it's not the way you would think about it before with these official gangs that you have membership in. It's more of these shifting loose associations of criminals. And as I understand it, younger also. But we'll talk about that with Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So is that generally what we're seeing now, is not these kind of big, official, named, isolated, you know, hierarchical kind of organizations, but just sort of, hey, I'm hanging with these guys today and I'm hanging with those guys tomorrow, and we're just kind of doing stuff and it's often criminal. Is that kind of what we're seeing more?
That's exactly what we're seeing. It's not, the chief described it perfectly. It's not, organized gangs that you see in much larger cities. We don't seem to have that in our area, and that's fortunate. You know, one week they're hanging out with one gang one group, and then the next maybe somebody else. And a lot of times these four, five, six guys hang around each other based on maybe the school they went to or the area where they live, instead of a gang name. So a hybrid, a group of people that don't like each other is more accurate, I would say, than a gang.
Okay. All right. And obviously they're engaging in, criminal behavior. Does it fall under the, I don't know, I feel like I'm out of my depth on this one, but I thought there were some legal structures in place to facilitate the fighting of gang violence, like gang task force, and in conjunction with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. It seems like this sort of is below that threshold, or maybe outside of those parameters, and that might pose an additional challenge. Am I thinking about this the right way? Or am I asking the right question?
Yeah, you are. So if it develops into something bigger, maybe, again, they're wearing certain colors. There's other identifying marks to where we can say, yes, this is a legitimate gang, then it is what it is. That's just not something we've seen at this point.
And when it has those characteristics, you're more able to draw on other agencies, other resources to fight those problems. And if it doesn't cross that threshold, that kind of stuff is not as available. Do I basically have that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. We've been, kind of looking at what happened on Northwoods at the apartments there on 9th Avenue, and the chief had indicated that he thinks maybe there was a connection to the shooting there with three people shot over the weekend to the Creighton shooting from a couple of weeks ago. Do we've made any progress on either of those?
Well, I can tell you we haven't hit any brick walls. So the investigation is progressing, and any time that we have shooting incidents that close together, one of the first things investigators are going to look for is some sort of connection. So that's always possible. It's not confirmed, and we probably won't be able to confirm or anything like that until an arrest is made.
All right, very good. The other series of crimes that has kind of captivated the town, and I think rightly so because it's so awful, but seeing these swastikas painted or spray painted on different structures and the brick thrown through the temple window, it's infuriating. Vandalism in general is infuriating. Vandalism that seems to be motivated by anti-Semitism or racism or anything else is, extra infuriating. But I don't know. My own sense about these things is it doesn't strike me so much as the work of some dedicated white supremacist group. It strikes me as, kids misbehaving or doing something they think is cool that's really not, or just, I don't know, just it has that feel to me. Have you guys managed to figure out what kind of a problem is causing this yet at all?
No, we're still working on that. Like you said, there's been several incidents, and they're not, there's been two locations where, definitely there was Jewish organizations there. So, both of those were where the bricks were tossed through windows. And then the graffiti portion, there's no particular place. There's different buildings, bus stop benches, walls, things like that. So we don't know. We won't know exactly what we have until we have an arrest. And like I said before, if it's kids that saw something off the internet and they're doing it because it's generating attention, that's one thing. But if we make an arrest and we find, a computer that's got a lot of hatred in it, there's flags maybe in a bedroom or a basement, and so it goes deeper toward a hate crime at that point. But I can tell you that Chief Randall, Deputy Chief Chrisman, have pulled out all the stops on this investigation, and we're looking hard, and hopefully we'll have an arrest soon.
Okay, so and as you say, if you find other justifying evidence, there'd be enhancements to push it towards a hate crime charge aside from just being a vandalism charge. That makes sense to me. I appreciate that. I'm going to give you just an idea. It's probably not anything you can use. It's probably not a good one, but it is the one that occurred to me. I remember that, Ronald Reagan used to deal with the communists by making fun of them. And, you know, to some degree, Bush used to make fun of the terrorists, because the one thing that bullies and, you know, authoritarians or vandals, they don't like to be made fun of, you know. And it just kind of struck me the other day that if instead of, you know, just getting angry and worked up about it, if we replied in kind, like when they paint swastikas, we'd paint like, you know, vandals are cowards, or man must not have, you know, be able to get along with women, or, you know, I don't know, just some kind of a, you know, like a pushback that would irritate them back. I don't know if that's practical. It's probably not something that can be done, but have you guys considered like weird alternative ways of discouraging the behavior other than just pursuing the criminals?
No, we haven't, but I can tell you that the Jewish community has not been shaken by this.
Good.
And that in itself should be enough to let them know that they have not been shaken by this. And I can tell you, if it's attention that they're looking for, as soon as we get a hold of them, they're going to get that attention, and we'll make them famous. So that's probably something that they don't want to happen. But it's a little bit too late now. The investigation is moving forward, and hopefully, again, we'll make an arrest soon.
Yeah, racism, anti-Semitism, religious bigotry, these are not laughing matters at all. Mike Wood, we're talking with the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, I think you might be driving kind of a unique vehicle and maybe driving it in a unique place right now. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm in our Blue Angel Tahoe sitting out in front of the airport, and I've been driving a long time, but I've never, ever driven a vehicle inside of a building, and that's what I'm about to do. So we're going to drive it in the airport and put it on display for people to take pictures of and with, and do some recruiting with that while it's in here. So, yeah, I'm going to drive it in the airport in just a moment. So what could go wrong, right?
You're going to drive the PPD Blue Angels Tahoe inside of the Pensacola International Airport to put it on display for visitors to take photos with and to see and all that kind of stuff. Is that right?
That is right.
Oh, man.
So it'll be there for a few days, be there for a few weeks, and I hope folks can enjoy it, and we'll see what happens.
And so just purely practical question, you got to ride home?
I've got some officers who are going to take me back to my vehicle. You know, think about it. It's going to be in the baggage claim area, and the whole theme to the baggage claim area at the Pensacola Airport is Blue Angels. And
nice.
You know, we thought what a great place to put this Tahoe on display and do some recruiting. And fortunately, the director, Mr. Coughlin, agreed, and so we're going to make that happen this morning.
Well, I'm just curious. Was it Matt's idea, or was it one of your guys? Your idea? Who was the instigator here?
Well, it came from the police department.
Nice.
And Matt went along with him. We're glad he did that, and we're glad to have the support.
All right. No, I love it. So anyway, go to the airport, and luckily, baggage is outside of security. That means that anybody can go there. So if you want to see it and, you know, take yourself in the PPD Blue Angels baggage claim area, that's fantastic. Might also cut down on baggage theft, so I like that as well. Hey, last thing, we always like to ask a cop myth or a did you know. This one's a little different than one I've asked ever before, but I was kind of having this conversation. When I watch all these 80s movies, what I notice is at a certain point around the late 80s, maybe 88, 89, is you see that, for example, like in Lethal Weapon, Sergeant Murtaugh has got a revolver, but Riggs has a Beretta. And you see that in other circumstances where for the longest time, you know, older police movies, they always had revolvers. Newer, of course, now y'all carry Glocks typically. It's a semi-automatic pistol. But there was a time when they were kind of both present in the movies, and the cool cop had the semi-automatic and the older cop, which I assume reflected a reality in the force. But we've had semi-automatics for forever. I mean, the 1911 was literally made in 1911. Why didn't the police convert over to semi-automatic pistols earlier, and why did they stick with revolvers so late in the game, so long?
Well, first of all, both of those cops are cool. It's just one is old and one is young. So here's what happened. The wheel gun or the revolver is something that's been around forever, and the older officers know they know how dependable that weapon is. And then the new officers want the latest and the greatest. So two things changed, or changed going into semi-automatic weapons or held it up, and that is the department itself, the age of the administrators. Is it a decision they wanted to make to go away from the reliable revolver to the new semi-automatic weapon? So in early times or earlier times, the weapons could jam. They would jam a lot more than they do now. They've really got to figure it out now. That doesn't happen very often. And then the other reason why they might not switch over to the semi-automatics was cost of replacing all of those weapons.
So basically, you had reliability. You know, revolvers don't jam. You know, semi-automatics did, and as you say, they're better now, but they did for the past. The inventory cost of acquiring the new weapons, retraining everybody on the new weapons, those were some of the whole, and just sort of bureaucratic momentum. Did any of the impetus to actually make the change come from criminals ramping up their armaments and it sort of being on the street and needing to have, you know, higher capacity magazines in order to deal with that problem? The thought that maybe, you know, six wasn't enough, but 17 would be adequate?
Yes, absolutely, because one thing you don't see on the streets anymore are revolvers with the bad guys. It's extremely rare. So we would be outgunned if we didn't make that move. And it's the same way when we replaced our shotguns with the rifles. We yeah. would just be outgunned if we had semi-automatics and shotguns. So we have to change our weapons and our tactics with the times and with what we're being met with on the street.
And just this is a completely, you know, just kind of nerd gun question, but did police, when they had the revolvers, did you carry auto loaders? Or, I mean, I assume you didn't just carry, you know, a bag of bullets or anything. What was the standard, you know, carry component?
Yeah, it's interesting you should ask me that, because you know that I'm old enough to where I did start with a wheel gun. And, yeah, they were called speed loaders. And they were on our belt just like the magazines are now. There were two of them. Sometimes some officers carried three. So you were able to reload that weapon very fast back in the day.
Okay. All right. That's what I figured, but I just didn't know. And that's why I wanted to ask you. And I wasn't implying an age, sir. I wasn't meaning to pull it in that direction. You know, you self-disclose at your own risk. Mike Wood is our public information officer and always a good sport for these oddball questions. I appreciate it. And certainly I appreciate what you do for the community, Mike. Thanks so much. And go get your snaps with the PPD cruiser at Pensacola International Airport, right?
Hey, it'll be in there in 10 minutes.
Oh, nice. Drive safely. And that was yesterday that we talked to Mike, so that is there right now, and it'll be there. I don't know if they're going to leave it there through Sunday, but I know, you know, at least through today and maybe tomorrow is kind of what the plan was. And, man, I think, you know, you're coming into Pensacola, and you go through the exit gates, you go down to get your bag, and you're like, the what now? I mean, it's a cool thing.
Oh, I know. Seeing the Blue Angels on a police car inside baggage claim.
And that is by far the coolest cop car that I've ever seen.
Right.
So, you know, and I mean, there are a lot of cool cop cars out there. That's the one that's like, oh, that's awesome. 552 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of cars, if you need your next new one or your one that's like new to you, you know, Frontier Motors, they specialize in cars that are a year, two, 3 years old, right? That's what we bought, was a car that had been a lease and it got brought back in Orlando and couldn't sell it there. So they put it up for auction. Frontier bought it and we got a sweet deal on a great car. That's what they specialize in, is really good quality cars that are one or a couple years old. But also service, like the level of service that they give, not just to you as a customer, but just kind of in general. You know, if you need a Carfax run for a car, just send them the VIN. They'll give you a Carfax. No charge. No problem. I had a friend tell me recently that they were in a big wreck, not here, but out of town and on vacation. $20,000. Car was not totaled. So the insurance company was going to pay to repair it. Which, you know, tells you something about that kind of a car. But $20,000 to repair, and somebody said, you know, you ought to look into diminished value, call Frontier. And so they did. When the car was done, they got all the, you know, the bills for the repair shop that the insurance company was going to cover. They sent them basically a bill that said, or they sent them a copy of the bill and said, how much diminished value do we have on this car? Because if you sell a car that's been heavily damaged, you have to say that, and you know, or at least it's going to be on the Carfax, so you can't sell it for as much as a car that's never been in that problem. Well, they said it'd be about $5,000, and so they sent that note off to the insurance company, and the insurance company cut them a check for $4,800. It's not that they weren't customers of Frontier or anything, they just knew, or somebody told them they ought to look into this, and that's a service that Frontier gave. So if you need to find out like an insurance estimate or alternate, you know, other set of eyes, or you know, diminished value on a car that's heavily damaged, Frontier can do that for you. So when I say they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Work, kids, finances, your life has lots of moving parts. Let Gulf Winds help you keep them all moving forward. Our free digital banking tools make it easy for busy bill payers to manage the day-to-day. Our simple applications and low loan rates get mommy chauffeurs on the road fast. And our free accounts and low fees put extra cash in pockets so weekend warriors can have a splash more fun. We're here for you and everyone, living life to the fullest. How can we move you forward? See all the ways at GoGulfWinds.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready or not, Educational Opportunity Centers will get you there. To college, to the workforce, or to start a new career pathway.
Funded by the Department of Education, we are your free community resource for adults in Escambia and Santa Rosa County seeking higher education. Located on Pensacola State College campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, and Milton.
It's never too late to start. For wherever you want to go, get there with Educational Opportunity Centers.
Call 850-484-1961 today for a free consultation.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Men, you are about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West.
Good morning, 5:56, News Radio 92.3. You made it, it's Friday. Well, you still got a work day ahead of you, most likely, but you almost made it. It's almost over. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Jobs numbers from July expected out this morning. Analysts expecting it to show about 200,000 jobs added. And that would be the smallest gain that we've seen since December of 2020. Unemployment is expected to hold at about 3.6%, though. Tennessee State Representatives Justin Jones and Justin Pearson, the two Justins, back in office after a special election. The Republican-dominated State House expelled the two Democrats back in April after they took part in a protest on the House floor. And
Justin, in case you were wondering how that story turned out.
I see what you did there.
Remember, this is such a crazy story. They were involved, yes, in that protest on the floor about gun issues, and then they voted to try to expel the three of them, the two of them and the white lady. And then they didn't expel the white lady. They expelled the two black, right, legislators. Whether it's racist or not, you know, I'll leave to other people to decide. But, you know, that was the allegation even by her. She says, I would have been expelled except I'm a white lady. And then they go through this whole special election because they were instantly put back on the slate by their local, I think it was like the county commissioner, city councilor, whoever put them back on. And then they got reelected. So now they're back in, which we 100% knew this was going to happen. It's just kind of like, you know, why did you do this in the first place? Why did they try to kick you out? And then, you know, all of this. So go ahead, David.
And another advanced placement course, mm-hmm, may be banned in Florida. It's still kind of up in the air here. The College Board announced yesterday that the state is effectively banning AP psychology classes because it would violate the parental rights in education law. But the Florida Department of Education says it is not being banned. So I guess we'll have to see how that...
Well, my understanding is I thought the current status was you could do the class, but you couldn't do the units on homosexuality. And as long as you didn't talk about transgenderism and same-sex behaviors and orientation, then you could do the class. So I suppose really it's probably up to the individual school district whether they want to include those elements in. They can't. I mean, it's either don't do the course or do the course without those elements, and then, you know, hope somehow the students can figure out how to pass the AP without those elements, maybe individual study or something like that. That'd be my guess is how this is going to, you know, proceed forward. Not officially banned, but, you know, you got to be careful how you teach it to make sure you're in line with, you know, Florida statutes.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.